The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special, which you are listening to. We're going to speak about motherhood in Islam. Today's Thursday is the 21st of Jamadi al-Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar-Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar-Hijri calendar, and the 4th of January, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is verse 14 of chapter Luqman. Let's bless this moment.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير.
And we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. His mother carried him, increasing her in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents. To me is the final destination.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse under discussion, at first, the kindness to parents has been recommended. Then the Quran points to the course of mothers' pregnancy in order to awaken the moral conscience of men and that he should not forsake the events of the past. He must always remember that his mother bore him and fed him with her own milk. She dispensed with her sleep and food for the sake of his tranquility in a manner that no one was ready to bear such troubles.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
As I told you, the topic of this episode is about motherhood in Islam. Every society is made up of blocks of family units. The stronger each block is, the stronger the structure of the family. Families are thus the building blocks upon which rests the fate of society. For the development of good families, the mother plays a vital role. Many women today have aspirations of progress in their careers and degrees in various fields. However, it is indisputable that the most important achievement of a mother is the raising of the sensible, virtuous child, virtuous children who will then move on to build other strong blocks for society. It has been said that it is easy to bear children, but it is difficult to raise them well. In that lies the challenge for all mothers.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. We shall be talking again the status and position of women. Lady Fatima Zahra is the most perfect and supreme lady of the world, who is known as an innocent daughter, wife and mother, as we said earlier. The personality dimensions of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha are not related to a specific period of time. And her lifestyle is a worthy example and model for all ages. She's not only an exemplary and unique model in housekeeping, husbandry and raising children, but also in other fields, and the manifestation of the Islamic lifestyle is crystallized in the biography of Siddiqatul Kubra, Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. What is important is that the basic pillar and cultural infrastructure in any society is the mother. And if there is a culture inadequacy, and the society or higher personalities and ideas are born, and the origin of all of them is the mother. Now, society will taste the taste of independence and dignity unless its women find dignity. Therefore, it is possible to consider Lady Fatima Salam Allah Aliha as the mother of culture of the school of Ahlul Bayt and the Islamic revolution. And the teachings are like inspiration to all Muslim men and women who with their lives provide the ground for the emergence of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain.
This part is Strength of a Mother. This is today's special. Setting clear goals. A mother has to know what she expects from her children and then explain that to them. It is not enough to want good children. The children must know what exactly is expected from them and what the mother wants them to do. Sometimes a mother tells the child to lay the table properly, because it has not been explained to the child what probably means he does not the way he thinks it right. The child may consequently be blamed for being sloppy or lazy, for not seeing the table right. The frustration and heartache could have been avoided if the child knew exactly what was expected from him rather than a vague order to lay the table. The same can be applied to all chores, behavior with others, academic achievements, and etc. The mother must have definite goals of what she wants and make them clear.
You're the reason my life's worth living, you're the reason I'm alive. Without you, you're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny, you're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe, you are all that I believe.
And in this part, one tip for Muslim mother, and that is treating all our children equally. Often people are in the habit of treating children unequally, especially when it comes to gender. Boys are often prioritized over girls. They are provided with more resources as compared to girls, or sometimes intelligent or attractive child receives more attention. This biased attitude can develop a lot of inferiority complexes and other issues in our child. Islam prefers equality. Although men are given more authority in some cases, it is written nowhere to treat children unequally. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad loved his daughter too much.
One day, a man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, I want to go to jihad. I want to join the Muslims in jihad, in defending Islam and the Muslim community. Rasulullah tells him, he tells Rasulullah, but I am the only son of my parents. My parents don't have any other son. And he tells him, when I left my parents to say goodbye to them, My parents were crying. My mother was crying when I left the house because I'm going to jihad. She was crying when she was saying goodbye to me. Rasulullah tells him, leave the jihad and go back and serve your mother. Imagine how much reward you have to be a shaheed, to do jihad in the way of Allah. Rasulullah tells him, leave the jihad and go back and make your mother smile and laugh the same way you made her cry when you left her. And then he tells him, this is a greater act of jihad. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَأُنْسُهُمَا بِكَ لَيْلَةً يَوْمًا وَلَيْلَةً خَيْرٌ مِّن جِهَادِ سَنَةً. He says, by the one, Rasulullah, he does a qasam. He says, by the one whom my life is in his hands, meaning by God, if your parents are pleased with you for one day and night, layla, yawman wa layla, that is more rewarding for you than jihad for one full year. One full year of fighting in the way of Allah and the struggles of jihad. You keep your parents pleased with you for one day. That is much greater. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the akhlaq of Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. Two very important relationships. One is relationship with God. You have to have a healthy relationship with God. And second, with people around you. And beginning with your parents. Today, unfortunately, we see many, they disrespect their parents. Many, they treat their parents not in the right way, not in the way that they're supposed to. They leave their parents and they're not there for them to serve them. They show disrespect in the way that they speak to them. And this is haram. This is something that will bring the ghadab, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. You have to take care of your family. And if someone has shortcomings with their family, then this person will see the punishment in this dunya and in the afterlife. Someone who does not have a healthy relationship with their parents, especially with your mother, this person will not see happiness, will not see tawfiq in this dunya.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special about Muslim mother. Inshallah, we continue to know more about this topic on the next episode of today's special. So follow us at parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Everyone, and here are some factors to contemplate upon regarding the all-glorious Creator, whom imagination cannot encompass, as described by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who is one without partner. He who cannot be perceived with vision, neither be described with tongues, nor can imagination surround his state. ¶¶ take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the increase of faith. As you know, in Arabic, the word for faith is iman. And this is a very central and a very significant Islamic concept. It's been mentioned many times, countlessly, in the Quran and as well as the Hadith. We can see and talk a lot about it. Faith is something different from Islam and submission. So Islam and Iman, these are two distinct characteristics. This is tested to by the verse of the Holy Quran where God says, the Bedouins say, we have faith. Say, you do not have faith yet. Rather say, we have embraced Islam, for faith has not yet entered your hearts. So faith is something, a little bit above Islam and submission. And this is because faith is actually acting upon what one has admitted to. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, faith is to attest and to act, whereas Islam is to attest without acting. And because of this, because, you know, our actions, you know, they can vary. Some people, they can act upon all of the, you know, regulations and in laws of Islam. Some people don't. Some people act upon most of them. Some people act upon none of them. They just, you know, their names Muslim by name. So this is something that can vary and is subject to variation and it has various degrees. Because of this, we see that whenever faith is spoken of, it has been mentioned to be susceptible to increase and decrease. By way of example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, God says, and when his signs are recited to them, they increase in their faith. Right? So when the verses of the Holy Quran are recited to people, you know, the believers, the true believers, their faith increases and strengthens. This is shows us that faith is something that can increase. In a similar manner, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he alludes to this fact and shows us that faith is something that can increase. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, faith appears as a white spot in the heart. So whenever faith increases in magnitude, the whiteness increases. When faith is completed, the entire heart becomes white. Now, by whiteness here, we're not talking about a physical color that can be seen. Just like when we speak about the heart here, we're not speaking about, you know, the physical heart, which is in the chest and that pumps the blood and circulates it throughout the body. Right? We're talking about a clarity. First of all, we're talking about the soul. And this white spot, we're talking about this clarity and this, understanding and, you know, kind of luminosity of the spirit. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the increase of faith in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم. Dear listeners of IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. I'm really happy, inshallah. Today also we have Brother Fawad Haider and Hussein Akbari. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And Fawad, how are you?
Salam, sir. I'm fine too.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is fine, brothers and sisters. Hope you are fine as well, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will talk about ayah 125 of Surah Al-An'am on page 144.
Four.
Top of the page, yes?
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, turn to page 144, ayah 125 of Surah Al-An'am, top of the page. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Faman yuridillahu an yahdiyahu yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Nice recitation, mashallah. I will read it quickly, and then Hussein will read it for us, okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يريد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام. Read it, Hussein. أعوذ بالله, بسم الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام.
أحسن. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. فمن يرد. What does Allah Almighty say? For what? Allah Almighty says, فمن يرد الله أن يهديه. Whomever. Whomever. No matter anyone. Whomever Allah desires to guide, يهديه, يشرح صدره للإسلام. He opens, Allah Almighty opens his chest, his breast to Islam. What does it say? It says, look, Allah Almighty has given you free will.
Yes.
To choose the right path or the wrong path. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. We have shown the path, okay, to the human being. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا. Either he is thankful to that and he goes towards the right path. وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Or he's not thankful and he goes the wrong
question,
path.
Sir.
Yes.
Being guided also means like we have shown you the path. Or it means that we have shown you the path and then we have guided you.
Look, sometimes, okay? Of course, Allah Almighty has given us free will, okay? And also, He has sent His prophets as well, His apostles as well, okay? To guide us. So you have free will to either listen to the prophets, follow them, or reject them, okay? And sometimes there are some people that all of a sudden, they were really bad people, okay? In a wrong path. But once you see they are on the right path, they are really strongest followers of the Prophet, for example, okay? It's because sometimes you have done something in your life, okay? You have done something good in your life, no matter you are believer or non-believer, but you have done something. And because of that, Allah Almighty holds your hand one day. Allah Almighty helps you one day. Okay? For example, you might have helped a poor person in your community while you don't believe in God. Okay? You don't believe in God, but you are a great person in your community. One day Allah Almighty might hold your hand and help you to be guided. His blessing. So blessing of Allah Almighty can overtake anyone. Blessings of Allah Almighty. Okay? Special blessing. Alright? Of course, we have in the meaning of Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rahim means he is kind, he is blessing, he is merciful to special people, special Muslims, special believers, okay? But also sometimes Allah Almighty blesses people, okay? All of a sudden, like it's his own wisdom.
Rahman.
Yeah, because he might see some capacity in that person. He might see like this person deserves to be guided. He blesses him. Even, okay, he himself is not a good person, okay? The person. So sometimes Allah Almighty blesses us. So, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. He opens, Allah Almighty opens his breast to Islam, his chest to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. Can you read it, Hussein?
وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا.
أحسنت. And whomever Allah Almighty desires to lead astray, it's easy for Allah Almighty. If Allah Almighty wants to deprive someone of his blessings, okay? If Allah Almighty wants to take his blessings from someone, it's easy for Allah Almighty. Allah can do it. Yes or no?
Yes.
There have been a lot of people, okay, who've had a lot of blessings in their life, but because they misused the blessings of Allah Almighty, they were deprived. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَيُّضِلَّهُ. And whomever he desires to lead astray, يَجْعَلْ صَدَرُهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. So up to this point, let's mention to the Tajweed Rus, then we'll continue.
قُرْآنِي فِي قَلْبِي دَوْمًا يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
So, فَمَنْ يُرِيد. How do you read it for?
فَمَنْ
يُرِيد. Yes? You merge them. إِدْغَام. Yes? What?
Yes.
What?
إِدْغَام.
Yeah, the rule إِدْغَام. فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ Again,
Yes.
Again, إِدْغَام. أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ مَنْ يُرِدْ
Again.
وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ How do you read it, Hussein?
وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ
أحسن أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجَعَلْ
قَلْقَلَ
Echo the sound يَجَعَلْ صَدْ Again, echo the sound صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا And whomever Allah Almighty desires to lead astray, He makes his breast narrow and straightened. Okay? Narrow, not to accept, for example. Not to have this ability to accept. He will be deprived from this ni'mah. ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا If you stop. حَرَجًا If you connect it to كَأَنَّمَا حَرَجًا إِخْفَى Read Hussein. كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ
كأنما يصعد في السماء
أحسن ما شاء الله في السماء The mad is wajib But if you stop here Because Jim says you can stop or you can continue You ignore the mad كأنما يصعد في السماء Not that six count, okay? Don't prolong it for that So as if he were climbing to a height So, كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. Thus, does Allah lay spiritual defilement or rijs, which means impurity, kind of, yes, defilement, on those who do not have faith. This means they will be led astray. Okay? So, read it, Hussein. كذلك
كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون.
يجعل الله الرجس. Yes. Okay. So these are the important tajweed rules. They are not very difficult. I will be reciting once this ayah. Make sure, inshallah, you repeat after me, Hussein and Fawad. Brothers and sisters, listen and practice. Ready, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ
فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ
أحسن Extend the sound of إدغام وَمَنْ Not وَمَنْ يُرِد وَمَنْ Longer وَمَنْ Okay, two counts. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا
وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا
ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء
ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء
كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون
كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسن. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, brother Hussein Akbari and Fawad Haider. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us up to this time. That's all from us for today. Hope you stay safe, inshallah. Stay with Arab English Radio. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. See you. والحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, When the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program and shortly with our guest speaker. We are talking about Homs according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question regarding Homs in relation to renting a house. People usually give a sum of money, right, in advance.
Sure.
Or advance payment, as they call it.
Yes.
And if this money is obtained from one's earnings and remains with the house owner for several years, is it obligatory for any of them, actually, usually the owner of the money, to pay its khums immediately after receiving it?
Of course, when we talk about the money given to the landlord, the landlord is not going to pay khums on the money,
yes,
with him, because it's not his money, it is just a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the question arises as to whether the tenant has to pay khums or not.
Yes.
So indeed, many people do not know how to go about the money they pay in advance. Mm-hmm. And this is a very practical issue. Not to mention the fact that Shia scholars also differ in their opinion about this particular issue. For example, when it comes to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he is of the view that khums of the capital that is with the landlord must be paid as soon as it is received.
Mm-hmm.
If it is from the tenant's income, okay?
Right.
Because there are different situations. If, for example, you have the money, you have hired, rented a house, but that's not your money. You have probably borrowed the money from the bank or you have received the money as a gift. So in those cases, you don't have to pay khums. But if you gain the money through labor, through work, through hard work, then in the event that a year runs over the money and it's not used, for example, and if it is used, if it is, for example, something that you have been keeping with you, khums should be paid. But there are two exceptions. For example, of course, if the tenant is not able to pay the full rent,
mm-hmm,
or for example, the landlord is not happy to receive a lesser amount of money, he wants the full amount. And if the tenant is going to pay khums on the capital which is with him,
mm-hmm,
he will not be able to rent a suitable house.
Or the same house,
of course, because every year, as we see in
there's
some
inflation.
Countries, there's inflation. There is, the money loses its original value.
Yes.
So in these cases, in these three cases, obviously khums is not paid on the capital.
So, and what if the tenant wants to rent another house with this very money immediately after receiving it?
Of course, the same scenario applies because it is generally speaking, it is something that is considered to be a kind of living expenses. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, you want to rent a suitable house for yourself and your family, and you cannot live out in the open space, so you need to rent a house. It is considered to be part of your ma'una, okay? Ma'una means living expenses.
Mm.
So whatever is considered as ma'una or the living expenses, khums is not paid on it.
I see.
And this money which goes towards the rent of the house, which you need direly, of course, khums is not paid on this money either.
I see.
Because otherwise, if you pay khums on it, probably you will not be able to rent a house, or maybe the landlord will not accept to give his house.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah. Let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about khums, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is khums applicable to a house constructed or built some time ago with the money from which khums had not been paid? And if your answer is positive, assuming that the khums is obligatory, does the appropriate khums correspond to its current value or the value of the money spent on its construction, some time ago?
Yeah. If khums is to be paid, generally speaking, khums should be paid on the thing's current market value. Now you have, for example, an additional house.
Mm-hmm.
You have, for example, two houses. One of the houses you are already using. You don't need the other one. You have to pay khums on the current market value of that very house that you possess. Now, when it comes to the scenario you mentioned, you just said that khums, you just asked whether khums is applicable to a house constructed some time ago. For example, with the money from which khums had never been paid. So this is the main question. I would like to say that according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, if the house is constructed with the income of the same year, there's no khums on that very house. Okay, but if it was constructed with the money that you earned in the previous year or in the years before, so khums should be paid because khums had never been paid on that money, and you used that money on which khums was due in this very year.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you might not be able to buy a proper house to buy or rent a proper house, but because khums had to be paid on that very saving, on that very amount in the previous years, and you did not pay it, so you have to clear your debt and pay it off.
I see. Okay, someone says, Sheikh Javid, recently I sold my residential apartment and this transaction took place at the end of my khums year. While I see that I am liable to fulfill my religious obligations, I face a problem in the present circumstances. Please enlighten me regarding this matter. Obviously, it means that, does he have to pay the khums?
Khums, of course. Now, according to the fatwa of Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, if the house was originally purchased with money exempted from khums or money obtained from the earnings of the same year in which the house was purchased, there's no khums on the sale proceeds. I think this is a general criteria. If you buy a house, if you earn money and you buy a house in the same year with the same money that you earned in that very year, there's no khums to be paid on the house that you need and that you want to use. But probably it's not completely constructed. It needs to be constructed. So because you need a house, and a house is your basic need.
Mm-hmm.
It is your living expenses. It's part of your living expenses. And therefore, if you sell your house, there is no khums on the proceeds, okay? Just as I mentioned in my answer to the previous question, if the house was bought with the money that you earned in the previous years, of course, khums should be paid. Otherwise, there's no khums on it.
But if he pays the khums on the money which is received after selling his residential apartment, then he wouldn't be able to buy another house.
Which is for living. As I said...
Is it considered living expenses again?
It depends. It depends. If you earn money in the same year and the khums date is due, you know, because they're, for example, on the first day of Muharram, for example, or Ramadan, he should pay khums. And the khums date is due and he bought the house with the money he earned in the same year. So in the event that he pays khums and he will not be able to buy a proper house or rent a proper house, khums is not... is supposed to be paid.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tobi. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us on the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajam Ilaha Illahum Ghaffarun سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality.